I don't know how much you, how deeply you think about everything, but, you know, I don't just come to church and just throw something together so I can take up 45 minutes, an hour, and then we can go home. It's not that way anymore. I take it too seriously. I mean, do you consider that one of these times may be the last time? We don't even know if we'll be here next week, if we'll be able to meet next week. We don't know. I mean, we just don't know. I mean, it's that possibility's there, and you ought to take that into account. Things are changing. And what are you going to remember as your last service where things were normal? Whereby come to church on Sunday morning and sat in our seats and we sang our songs. What are you going to... wonder what you remember about your last service.
Well, I think about it like the well would go out. You know, if you knew the well was fixing to go out, you'd run a thing of water or you'd drink a little more purposefully.
Yeah. But you don't miss the well until... the water till the well runs dry. And you know, the time for lollygagging and just taking things lightly and skipping through everything is over. And so we better be serious about everything we do for God, and we better be seriously doing something, whatever we can. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go back up to verse 2. We went on down a little farther last week, but let's back up there to verse 2. And let's look at this. You know, it just ain't good enough for me anymore to just preach a message, you know, and have certain points and just go through it. Well, I want it to speak to your heart, and I want it to be something that'll help and that you'll remember. And something that you can go back to, that you hear something in this message you hear that you can go back to that'll help you in days ahead. And, you know, long after I'm gone and life changed. We was talking a while ago about Gary and him being married 6 years. Well, what? Another 6 years? Not too many years. And a lot of us are going to be gone. Your whole world's going to change one way or another, regardless of what happens with all this mess. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. He's talking about the Israelites back in the wilderness. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, we mentioned this as we read through it before, but we're going to look at it a little closer this morning. All right. Father, we thank you for the songs we've sang together, and thank you for the Sunday school lesson, and for the time we've been together in your house this morning already. Pray you'd bless this next few minutes here. And I pray you'd help us to have hearts that are receptive and open to be taught. Help us, Lord, not to be stubborn or drawn aside by the busyness of our mind and all of the things. Please, Lord, I pray everybody would set everything aside and listen. They might be helped in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, he said real clearly here that the gospel was preached to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Now, the dispensationalists may not like that, but that's what the Bible says anyway. These people that make such a difference between Old Testament and New Testament, there are a lot of difference. And we're in the book of Hebrews, and this book spells out the differences, but not the basic element of it all, which is faith. It's been the same, both Old and New Testaments. The way of salvation has always been the same. You must trust in God. You must trust in God's ability, God's what He has done, God's promises. You must trust in that to be saved, to be justified, to be born again. You can't do it by keeping the law. You can't do it by your own will. This doesn't happen that way. So the gospel was preached to the children of Israel in the wilderness. The same gospel that was preached to us. Now, I guarantee you that's the way it was. The rock that followed them in the wilderness was what? What? Who? What? Christ. That's right. That rock that Moses smote, that the water came out of. What did that picture? Christ. The sacrifices, the offerings, everything. I mean, the gospel was preached to them. He hadn't came then. Now on this side, we're the gospel that we hear, he's Cain. And so that's the big difference. The same gospel that we preach today. The same gospel that was preached to Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 through 9 says, even as Abraham believed God. Now you see that. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Mm-hmm. Why? He believed God. And the word of God had its effect on him. It profited Abraham to believe the word of God. If you're saved here this morning, it has profited you to believe the word of God. Didn't them? They didn't profit none. Didn't do them one bit of good. Because they would not believe. And that would is in their own purpose. It ain't that they couldn't believe. It's that they would not believe. And there's never been a person on the face of this earth that don't apply to also. Anybody that dies and goes to hell didn't have to. And it wasn't because they couldn't believe. It was because they would not believe. The same gospel that was preached to Abraham. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now we read this morning in Romans chapter 2 and how that he's not a Jew who's one outwardly. Just because he's circumcised in the flesh doesn't mean he's a Jew. But he's a Jew who's one inwardly, Paul said. And the circumcision is not of the flesh, but of the heart. Yes. So that's saying the same thing as this is saying right here. They which are of faith, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. They are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Not those children of Israel that died in the wilderness. They may have been the fleshly descendants of Abraham according to the flesh. But so is Ishmael, and so are some of the rest of them there. But they're not the children of God. They're not justified. Just because of who they are doesn't mean anything. Well, it means something that you believe. They that are of faith, they are blessed with faithful Abraham. The gospel, what is it? It is that God will justify all men through faith, not only the Jew, but also the heathen. That's the gospel that was preached to Abraham. That's the gospel that was preached to the children of Israel in the wilderness. They had a bunch of Egyptians with them. Remember? Mixed multitude came out with them. There was always that way. You know, this thing that had progressed and developed by the time Jesus was born on this earth, where the Jews had just made themselves an exclusive club like Calvinists do. You know. It's funny, I was saying about it the other day. Calvinists don't believe you got a choice, but boy, they sure try to teach their children to choose right, don't they? You know, their old saying in the beginning was, and I've said it many times, their motto was that their children love God, know God, love God, know God, enjoy God. I'll get it right in a minute. That they know God, love God, and enjoy God forever. Well, now they had a choice, didn't they? They must have knew that they might choose not to. So they taught them. And so the Jews were the same way. They were an exclusive outfit. If you were a Gentile, you were a dog. You didn't even deserve to hear the word of God. You had no right or part or lot in any of this matter. But that was the Jews, not God. God always preached the gospel, which is that all men are going to be justified by faith. That God would justify the heathen. Well, where am I going to say? I've got it here somewhere. I'll read it in a minute. But the gospel is about faith in God and what he says. And that is what set Abraham apart. He listened with faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Abraham, he listened with faith, and it profited not only him, but all nations from that point on. In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And buddy, that's how it has turned out. And we haven't even seen the end of it yet. Many billions and millions of people have heard the gospel, but few have believed it. So they're no better off for it. And in fact, they're really worse off because they rejected it. There may be people sitting here this morning who've heard the gospel and heard the gospel and heard the gospel, but it's not profited you anything. You may think it has, but, you know, that's what we're going to look at here this morning. This is what the Bible says about the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that, come on y'all, believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God. Now that's saying a bunch right there. Unto salvation to everyone that believeth. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. So the gospel is the power of God. They heard the power of God and ignored it. Didn't do anything for them. It's the power of God. It's our hope, and it's the only hope for any person ever born on this earth. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and know the grace of God and truth. He's talking to the church there at Colossae. And he's telling them how they profited from it. Boy, that's a contrast to what happened to the children of Israel. They heard the gospel, and it changed them, and it profited them. And they became all of this, he said. It's the hope. It's glorious. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. All right, it's glorious. It's our hope, our only hope. And it's the power of God. That's what the Bible says about the gospel. The gospel. There's only one gospel in the Bible. And it was preached to those children of Israel. It had power then, just as it does now. The coming of Christ did not give the gospel more power. It was just a further revelation of its truth. And that's why that we are held more accountable now. Even we're going to have a lot more to answer for than they did. Too much is given, much is required. And so if you've heard the gospel 2,000 years here after Christ came, and you have deliberately rejected it, woe unto you is all I got to say. Heavy is over your head if it hasn't profited you. The gospel didn't profit them at all. That means, you know, to profit means to gain something. To gain knowledge, to gain wisdom, to gain understanding, to be made better, made more useful. It's an increase. It's a gain. It's a fruitfulness. I mean, the gospel, profit is it, you ought to be better for it. It's not of none effect. Gary said something about the love of God is not ineffectual. What'd you say? It's not... I can't remember the words you used, but this is not either. Improvement. To profit means there's been made some change for the better, and it wasn't for them. Y'all know how it was with them in the wilderness, don't you? Did it get any better? 40 years. Did they get any better? No. They were the same old wretched, unbelieving people when they rotted in the wilderness as they were when they entered into the wilderness, when they came out of Egypt. Didn't help them at all. that God showed them so many miracles, showed them so much revelation, gave them the law, the sacrifices, the tabernacle. Didn't affect them at all. Didn't change them a bit. Hearing the glorious, powerful gospel didn't affect them at all. It didn't gain them a thing. Didn't give them any more joy. You got any more joy since you heard the gospel?
Oh, yes, sir.
No happiness. They were miserable, wretched, covetous, idolatrous, lustful, sinful, murmuring, complaining, ungrateful, unthankful people all their lives, no matter what God did for them. They didn't get any peace. They never had any peace. They never had any hope. What hope did they have? God had already declared to them, you're not going in to the promised land. You're going to rot. Your carcasses are going to rot in the wilderness because of your unbelief. No home in heaven, no hope on earth. The gospel is our hope. It's our hope on earth. It's our hope for eternity. They didn't get that. They lost out on it. They didn't heal their homes or take away their bitterness. It didn't change a thing about them or for them. It was as if they never heard a thing. They stayed the same or were made worse by hearing it because their hearts became harder. And that's what happens. You hear and reject, your heart becomes harder. It made absolutely no difference in their life. No difference. No difference in their destiny. They continued right on their way to hell. It didn't make no difference in their joy or happiness in this life or the future. Their future here in this life did not change because they heard the gospel. Mine did. My future here on earth in this life changed drastically when I heard the gospel and believed it. Their attitude toward other people didn't change. Their attitude about life didn't change. Their attitude toward authority didn't change. Their attitude toward sin didn't change. I know all kinds of people that fit that to a T sitting in churches claiming they're Christians. I know preachers that preach that kind of a gospel, but it don't change a thing. You're still the same old sinner, just saved by grace. Yes, preach it. Their language and their conversation did not change. They murmured and complained. That's what they were known by. That's what made God so angry. More than anything else, God was angry. I mean, God would move over their murmuring and complaining. Their dress and their appearance, their opinions didn't change. Well, hearing the gospel changed my opinions about a lot of things, about almost everything, if you want to know the truth. How much has it changed you and your opinions and your views and your ideas of this world and what's right and wrong and how it ought to be and what to do? And how to guide your life. How much did it change you? How much of that old man is still there? Don't you think we ought to think about that? Their values didn't change. They didn't have anything to value any more than they had before. What did they value? Their selves. That's all. What they wanted, what they needed, what they thought they had to have, their comfort. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They were scared. That's all they thought about. That's all they lived for. Their wants and their lust and their desires and their fears. Their pastimes didn't change. Their friends didn't change. Egypt. They want to go back to Egypt. How many times they want to go back to Egypt? Go back where they grew up, where they knew everybody and everything was familiar. Yeah, where they was getting beat on every day and where life was impossible for them to live. Go back to that. That's how much the gospel affected them. The gospel is a hope for now and for the future. They didn't get it because they didn't believe it. And they would not believe it. Their habits, their lifestyle didn't change. Their love and their hatred for others didn't change. The places they went didn't change. The music they listened to didn't change. The things they spent their money on didn't change. The way they raised their children didn't change. The things they taught their children didn't change. Well, all that changed for me. I can tell you that.
Yes, sir.
It changed everything.
Amen.
To believe the gospel. The things they taught their children. So then just hearing the gospel doesn't necessarily make you any better than anybody else or give you any advantage, does it?
That's right.
We think people need to hear the gospel. I've heard that all my life since I've been a Christian. Boy, I just need to hear the gospel. Paul said even back then it's went unto all the world. All the world has heard. But all the world has rejected, except for just a few.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it was in the children of Israel in the wilderness. They weren't all like that. Some of them believed. If you get in the New Testament and start reading through Acts, and they went to a town, and Paul would go in the synagogue, and, well, some would believe, and some wouldn't. Most wouldn't. But some believed. You'll read that different times in there. But some believed. That's why God just keeps on. That's why He tells us to keep on preaching the gospel.
Yes,
preach it to every creature. Preach it unto the end of the world. It condemns those who reject it. Well, how many people do you know that have heard the gospel all their life? And yet it hadn't made them any different than the lost, wicked world around them. How many people you know that have heard the gospel and it has not profited them? Well, make sure you ain't one of them. It didn't profit them for one reason. There's only one reason that the gospel preached to them did not profit them. It is because they did not mix faith with their hearing of the Word of God. That's what it says right here. It didn't profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't believe because they did not want to believe. And that is the way it always is. The feelings and lust of their hearts and their friendship and dependence on this world and the free reign of the devil in their hearts wouldn't let their minds receive and understand the truths of the Word of God and apply them in their lives. Somebody that is so entangled in this world and is so dependent on other people and values so highly what other people think of them and their fellowship and their friendship. Peer pressure. These people they're going to hear the gospel and reject it. That's why they did it. Kids used to sing a song, "I'll dare to be different in a world of compromise."
Yeah.
I'll dare to be different. Daniel dared to be different. I think that's in that song. Yeah. Boy, that's a rare thing to find somebody who'll go with God and abandon the world.
Right.
Count the cost.
Yes.
They do that and they say, nope. They're like the rich young ruler. They go away sorrowful because they have many possessions. Not just possessions of things, but boy, it's the way they're tied in with everybody else. The family and friends and the social circle that they're in and the guys at work. Now, how many times have I watched people do that in church? Sit there and struggle and weep. And then just walk out for the last time. That's what happens. You make your decision. You declare what your intentions are toward God. And God takes you at His word. At your word. Unbelief is not intellectual difficulty in believing in a supernatural God. Let me tell you something. That is not the problem. A lot of people think it is. They think apologetics is the answer. Let's explain through science all to all these people and prove God. Let's, you know, just take pictures and... You're never going to prove to God, to people that are unbelieving, that there's a God. Scientifically, logically, creation, anything. You're not going to prove to them. It's already been made manifest in their heart from the creation of all things, like we talked about the other night. They know there's a God. It's not that they don't know or that they don't believe that God exists. They're liars who say that. I promise you that's the way it is. It's not an intellectual thing. Well, I just can't believe because that's just so far out that there's a God that created all this. It's a bunch of baloney. That's not their difficulty. You know, they don't have one problem. Ungodly people who claim to be atheists or agnostics, they don't have any difficulty at all believing in anything else supernatural. Oh, they believe in ESP, and they believe in aliens, and they believe in ghosts and spirits, and they sure believe in the devil and all of his spiritual wickedness. It's what we've been talking about in all this spiritual stuff. When a person rejects God, they become very superstitious. That means they believe in the supernatural. While they reject God. No, unbelief is, it's only the Almighty God that they have difficulty believing in. So it's not intellectual. It's not a matter of just presenting facts and you say, okay, I agree. Unbelief's much more wicked. It's much deeper of a thing than that. Unbelief is, this is what it is. It's rejecting God in the hardness of heart. As if God were trying to conquer you so he could put you in his prison. While faith in God is a desire to believe and understand and obey him. If you want to believe, you can believe. The centurion said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief with tears. Did he believe? I think he did. Was that faith sufficient? Yes, it was.
Yes.
You come to God with a sincere heart and saying, Lord, I want to believe. Lord, if this is all true, help me to believe. If you're sincere in that, you'll believe. And he won't have to show you some supernatural miracle to get you to believe. That don't work. You don't need supernatural events and miracles to have faith in God. You believe what he says. You believe the gospel because you want to believe it. The big change happened in my life when I quit trying not to believe and I started trying to believe.
Yes, sir.
Then it just came very easy. Mm-hmm. You search for me with all your heart. You'll find me, yes. God said.
Amen.
He's not hiding the truth. Ye shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free.
Yep.
God don't keep it from anybody. You draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You run from God, and he's not going to chase you down. And he's not going to cram it down your throat. And he's not going to force you to do anything. Why can't we learn that lesson? Why can't we learn that lesson in our dealings with other people? You ain't going to force nobody to do nothing. I can't force none of you to believe this morning. I can't force you to do one thing. Y'all got a choice. Every human being that's born on the face of this earth has a choice. And everybody else has just got to step back and watch what they choose.
Yes. Yep.
It's disappointing. It's heartbreaking sometimes. And sometimes it thrills your soul. Because they choose right. That's why there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of heaven. When one sinner repenteth. Because heaven gets mighty glad when somebody says, yes, I want to believe. If those Israelites in the wilderness would have had that attitude, and they should have, after all they had been through, and after 400 years in Egypt, and the way it all ended up so bad for them, and then all the miracles they seen to get them out of Egypt, God worked all that supernatural miracles to get them out. And how much good did that do them? If they would have had a heart to believe, what would God have done? He took them right straight to Canaan. But they didn't enter in because of their unbelief. And what is unbelief? Because they just had an intellectual struggle. They just couldn't believe all this stuff. It's just too far out. No, that wasn't the problem. They rejected God in the hardness of their hearts. They said he brought them out there in the wilderness to kill them. That's what they said. This is the root of unbelief. It's rejecting God and his word and rejecting all of their influence in this earthly life. That's unbelief. It's just saying, no. I'll get my information elsewhere. Unbelief is rejecting God. That's why it's so wicked. That's why it's the thing that made God so angry. Our unbelief is arguing and resisting God's truth in your mind instead of desiring to believe and understand. That is simple, but I mean, it's just profound. It is the root of the whole matter. It's easy to talk to somebody who we call receptive. You know, some people have questions. There's nothing wrong with having questions. Here's the trouble. It's wrong if you've got questions if you're just trying to reject God. If you're trying to come up with some stupid human mind game so you can prove that this ain't true and God's not really real, then you're wicked and it's unbelief.
Yes,
if you've got questions and like somebody asked a question and they're sincerely wanting to understand, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yes,
I've witnessed to people both ways. Witnessed to people who are wanting to know and understand and they're just confused. And you can help somebody like that.
Yes,
with the Word of God. And then I've talked to other people who they're just skeptics and they're hostile toward God and they're not wanting to understand. They're not wanting to know anything. They're wanting to try to cause you to believe like they do that there's nothing to any of it. And they don't really believe that. They're just trying. It's a smokescreen to cover their own sorry self and what they know they're facing. The gospel will only harden a hard heart more when they hear it in that frame of mind. And it'll certainly not profit them in this life or in eternity. How has hearing the gospel affected you? Has it gained you anything? Well, it gained me life. I think about it pretty often. Where would I be? What kind of person would I be now? What would I think of life? What kind of family would I have? What kind of life would I have if I'd have just made a left instead of a right at several different places back there? Don't even want to think about it. Because for me to live is Christ. You know, it's the life I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's my life. It changed everything. And it gained me. I tell you what, money-wise, nah. But how much does that matter? Jesus said a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's not what my life's about. It's not what anybody's life's about. What do I have? Oh, great riches, what I have. Profit? I don't know how you can profit anymore. What about you? How has it changed anything about you for the better? Well, I believe it did for me. Because I don't believe I was worth too much. In any way. Has it made any difference for your life? And all these things I talked about a while ago. What about joy? Huh? Happiness. What about peace and hope? What about your home? How has it affected your home? Your destiny? Your future? How about your attitude toward other people? And your attitude toward God and others? How did hearing and believing the gospel change that? It's a thing to consider, because I see a lot of people and it really doesn't change them in all of these things. They just say they're going to heaven when they die. They may even start coming to church and tithing. What about all these people who just can't come to church? You know, I'm talking about people that's claimed to be a Christian all their life and grow old claiming to be a Christian. Church ain't important to them. What did the gospel profit them? What is the gospel supposed to do for you? Well, let me just read a few verses here. We're doing good. I'll answer you with the word of God. What is it supposed to do for you? Oh, just secure you a home in heaven when you die. No, that ain't even got nothing to do. You're going to go to heaven when you die if you're right with God and your sins are forgiven, if you're a new creature. If you're sanctified, justified, regenerated, if you're spiritual and not carnal, you're going to go to heaven. Not going to heaven because you made a little profession of faith somewhere back there. Prayed a prayer. Here's what it's supposed to do for you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Boy, these verses are full. What's it supposed to do for you? For the inner man. This is what it does. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. You know, it's pretty amazing as you watch people in the world and how they can have such strength or inner, I don't know if it's inner strength. They got strength somehow. When you think of the fighting men and all through the ages who weren't godly people, boy, they had some backbone and some grit and some staying power to continue on the course. I think it was maybe Rick showed a book. He said, "Why do men fight when all is lost? Last stand. Why do men keep fighting when all is lost?" Well, you look at lost people and you stand and wonder at the determination and the strength to do what has been done in all of human history. And then look what your Bible says about what the gospel does for you. That you may be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Well, how could you stop somebody like that? You don't. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's what the gospel is supposed to do to you. It's supposed to strengthen you in your inner man, in your spirit. And it's supposed to, and Christ is going to dwell in your hearts by faith. He's with me. It's never been any different since I've been saved. His presence. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." The gospel makes you know that. Yes, believe in the gospel, you just know that. So you see people that, "I don't know if I'm saved or not, and I just can't figure it out, and I'm scared, and I don't know." The answer's pretty simple. What believing the gospel does for you is you just don't fear. You don't fear. And you know Christ is with you. Yes. And you're strengthened in the inner man. There's just strength there. Strength. Something stable. Something that has its own power to go. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be pushed and drugged and coerced and begged and threatened to hang in there. You just hang in there. That's why we believe in the perseverance of the saints. You continue. When you're born again, you just continue. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Amen. That's what the gospel does for you. That's how it profits you. Now you can see why it says it didn't profit them. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Love, Gary, you just preached in Sunday school there. Rooted and grounded in love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. That you have love one to another. The way we love, I thought about it while you was talking, Gary. It's the way we love and the kind of love that we possess, that we display. That's what God's honor is at stake. It's what tells people. It's what identifies us as His. Now that you get that when you believe the gospel. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. These things are true. You're going to profit when you believe the gospel more than you ever think. Oh, how shallow to just try to get people to make a profession so they can go have a home in heaven when they die. You don't want to die and go to hell. I saw the other day, and I believe it's true. It said that you could hang an unregenerate man over hell by a thread, and he would not repent. And I believe that's right. He ain't going to repent because of that. That's not what the problem is. His hard heart is set against God. And just scaring him with hell ain't going to change that. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts asunder. I mean, it pierces us even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It'll reach farther into a man than to scare him about hell.
That's right.
You don't believe, if he has intellectual problems believing in God, what do you think about hell? Ha! No. Maybe, and then he says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Boy, that's a lot bigger thing than most people who claim to be Christians ever get. That's the whole deal. That's how it ought to be. You ought to be strong inside. You ought to love, and you ought to know Christ is dwelling in you, and you ought to be able to start learning about the breadth and the height and the length and the depth of Christ, of the knowledge of God, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and being filled with the fullness of God. How many do you think are filled with the fullness of God? Changes our citizenship and identity. What does the gospel do to you when you believe it? Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Your identity's changed. Your citizenship is changed. Who you are, who you belong to, who you owe your allegiance to, all that's changed when you believe the gospel. You're born again. You're born into God's family. You're adopted into God's family. All these pictures in the Bible, you're not one of them anymore. You're one of His. You're not in darkness anymore. You're in the light now. You're not children of darkness. You're children of light. That's what the gospel does when you believe it. Now, what's believing the gospel? Believing that God will justify the heathen through faith. All right, it changes the affections of our hearts to things above instead of things on this earth. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. Well, now, what Jesus said was true, and it's for everybody. I quoted to you in Luke chapter 14 toward the end there here a week or two ago about how Jesus said to them, if any man forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So it changes the affections of our heart to things above instead of things on this earth. Again, I know that happened to me. I don't know about you. I just have never had that desire for houses and lands and security and things of this world. It's just not been something that occupied my mind all my life since I've been saved. What I care about is the kingdom of God. I really believe that He said to me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you. Don't worry about it. God will take care of you. He can take care of the sparrows. If he clothes the flower of the field like that, he'll take care of me. That's just been something that I've just known since I believed the gospel. Life's pretty good when you're a believer. When you can really believe, I mean, though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea, you don't fare. Lucas come out here this morning, he had that picture, God's got the whole world in his hands. Well, if you believe the gospel, you know that. You're still not trying to figure it out if it's true or not. Once you believe, you stop trying to figure it out if it's really true or not. You stop vacillating. Going back and forth, back and forth. No more instability. You're settled. What did it say? Rooted and grounded in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Not afraid. Not afraid. All right, and one more thing. It gives true understanding in all things, but particularly those things that matter for eternity and those things that are really moving this world. You get understanding about all things when you believe the gospel. You get a mind that's renewed. Your thinking is fixed when you start believing the gospel. And God starts leading you, and His Spirit starts working in you. And all of the things that we've mentioned before, you start getting understanding. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I was blind, but now I see. That's what that is. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Well, now only you know if that's ever happened to you. And when it happens, it's just like the lights come on. That's what it is, being enlightened. That blind man in John chapter 9 was born blind. He said, they said, who was he? What was his name? And he said, I don't know his name and I don't know who he was. And whether he was a sinner or not, all I know is that I was blind and now I see. That the eyes of your understanding being, boy, if they could have just believed the gospel, they would have understood, don't you see? In the wilderness, they'd have just believed God. They could have seen the heavenly host around them. They could have seen what Moses seen. How did he endure? By seeing him who is invisible. They could have seen. How did Moses see? Faith. He believed God. Same as Abraham believed God. And all the rest, all through all of the years. And the same as us right here this morning. If you believe God, you'll understand things that other people just don't understand. That you didn't understand before you truly believed. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believed. You get that? That's the kind of verses you need to go sit under a tree somewhere and just think about for a long time. The greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. If God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I don't leave no place for weakness and cowardice and defeatism and doubt and all that, does it? No. If you believe the gospel, the eyes of your understanding will be open. And you know things. You hear people testify. You hear preachers preach. And you can kind of tell if they really believe it or not, can't you? You can watch people live and you can tell if they really believe or not. Anybody could have walked up on that crowd out in the wilderness and said, what a mess is this? And that's what amazes me sometimes when I consider Moses sitting on his seat or whatever he did and looking on that crowd for 40 long years. How did he not say, what is the use? Before he died, he said, I know that after I'm dead, you're going to just throw it all aside and you're going to go right back to all your idols. My whole life, I've given to try to get you to believe, and you don't. You know, that's a lot of preachers are in that state right now. I know some. They've lived a long life. They've been faithful. They've preached and preached and preached and preached, and they've just watched everybody. When it gets to the end, they think, I've not done any good at all. Well, that's a lie of the devil.
Yes, sir.
It's God that gives the increase. We just labor. That's why he said, don't be weary in well-doing. For you shall reap in due season if you faint not. And your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Remember that. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Moses must have known that. That's how he endured. He looked to God and not to them. If you try to look at what you're accomplishing, you're going to faint every time. Everybody will. You got to look to God and just trust everything with Him. And He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Believe me, I believe that too. You need to ask yourself this morning. You need to watch your children. You need to be diligent about not just believing an easy believism gospel and all of the things that are so confusing in this world. You need to put everything to the test. Yourself first. Have I really believed the gospel? Do I really believe that God saves old sinners? I wonder, do we really believe that anymore? We think that's something that used to happen. No, it still happens. God, the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation, both to the Jew and to the Greek. I mean, it is. It's the hope. And it's everything we've got. I mean, it's the glory of God. It's the glorious gospel. It's what we got. It's all the world has. It's the only hope this world has. Think about that. They're all clamoring about, and all of the nations of the world are in an uproar, and they're trying to figure it out and how to make it all work, and they're not going to do it. They're going to run it into the ground and into destruction. And this is the answer. It's the only answer the world has ever had since the Garden of Eden. The gospel. You believe God saves people? Because they believe in Him. That's the gospel. Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins. God made a way. He did it all. It's up to you to believe. Not intellectually. Believe means to want to trust Him. And to go that way. Start out that way. I don't know if y'all started reading that book or not. Hinds Feet, Pilgrim's Progress. It's a journey, isn't it? So you're teaching salvation by works. No, I'm not. I'm just saying salvation's a new birth. But the rest of it's a journey.
Yes, sir.
And there's a journey before you get to that new birth too. You better start that way.
Right.
You better seek the Lord. Like Brother Kenny's preaching on the street, it is time to seek the Lord.
Yep.
Now. Yeah. Old Brother Norm's sign has been up by the road for years and years. It's more timely right now than it ever has been. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, He told that to the children of Israel. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. But they did. And he's warning us here in the first of Hebrews, these first four chapters. He said over and over, don't do like they did. Harden their hearts. Don't do that. Believe the gospel. Do like Abraham. Do like Moses. Do like David. Do like Joseph. Believe. Do like Paul. Believe. Oh, Saul, Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So Paul believed. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this gospel of salvation. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to take a good long look at our own selves and make sure that we believe. And that we started believing and we continue to believe the rest of our life. Lord, help us not to be deceived here. So many people are. Why, it'd be hard to find, I guess, in the dark time we're living in, there'd be a lot of people say that don't believe, but most people would say they believe in God, but it's profited them nothing. Lord, may that not be the case with any soul here, even the children. Lord, please help us to believe you and to do it right. In Jesus' name, amen.